Chapter 7. The Stable Fire. At about the fifth week of his training, the squire ordered James to drive him and his wife to the home of some friends who lived 45 miles away. So, one morning, Ginger and I were taken out into the yard very early. We drove 32 miles that day, many of which were hilly. But James was good about guiding us around the bad places in the road, and he asked for the master's permission to let us rest twice during the journey. Finally, late that evening, we arrived at a hotel to rest for the night. As we approached the hotel stables, two men came out to untie us from the carriage harness. The man who helped me was very friendly. He led me gently inside the stable, where I noticed there were three other horses. James stood nearby, watching as the men cleaned us and prepared our beds. My worker was very good at his job. He did it all quickly and carefully. James looked me over carefully, greatly impressed by the man's work.
"I thought I was quick," James said, "and John Manley even quicker, but you are faster than both of us."
"Well, when you've been doing the same job for 40 years, you'd be fast too," replied the man. "You know, in all my years as a groom, I can't say that I've ever seen healthier and friendlier horses than these two. Whose horses are they?"
"Squire Gordon of Birtwick Park," said James.
"Oh, yes, I've heard that name. He's known for his excellent riding skills."
"Yes, but he no longer rides as often as he used to. Ever since his son died riding this beauty's brother, he just hasn't had the desire."
As James and the old man walked out of the stable, I again remembered that horrible accident and thought about how often my mother must still think about it. Later that evening, as we were about to lie down for the night, a stable worker brought in the horse of a traveler who'd just arrived. He groomed the horse and prepared his room for the night, and while he did all of this, a young man, smoking a cigar, came in to observe and chat.
"Do me a favor and climb up to the second floor and throw some hay into this horse's room," the worker asked the young man. "But be sure not to take that cigar with you, okay?"
Some time later, James came back in to check on Ginger and I, and when he left, the door was locked behind him. I remember getting more and more tired, and I guess that I must have slept, but I don't know for how long. I awoke to the sounds of horses coughing and choking, and when I tried looking around to see what was wrong, I found that the stable was filled with smoke. Then I heard someone shout, "Fire!" And the man who'd groomed me earlier came running in. He managed to pull one horse out, but the fire prevented him from helping a second one. Then, just next to my ear, I heard James's voice saying very calmly, "Let's go, Beauty," as if there were nothing to be afraid of. He took his scarf and tied it over my eyes so that I couldn't see at all, and led me out of the stable.
"I need someone to take this horse and tie it far away from the stable. I've another horse inside. I'm going back in."
I was frightened for James. I wanted to tell him to be careful, and I actually tried when I saw him running back toward the stable. But of course my shouting must have been covered by those of the other equally frightened horses. All around me people were running and shouting here and there, trying to save as many of their horses and as much of their equipment as they could. But I was too worried about James and Ginger to pay much attention to anything else but the door of the stable. I could see the fire inside destroying everything quickly. I didn't believe it would be possible for both of my friends to survive. Then Squire Gordon came running.
"Are you in there, James?"
But the squire's shouts were not loud enough to be heard over the sound of falling metal and wood inside the stable. Just then a huge part of the roof fell to the ground, making a terribly loud noise.
I thought all hope was gone, but suddenly I could see what looked like James's coat coming through the front door, and behind him followed Ginger. She told me later on that she could hear me crying out, and that that had given her the courage to escape. Otherwise, she might have stayed in the stable from fear and died.